The makers of iPana for the smile of beauty, Zal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile.
With Eddie Cantor.
Is Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, Harry, and good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I just got some inside information that national defense factories throughout America were notified today by the Warner Brothers that unless they speed up production of guns and ammunition, Humphrey Bogart cannot make another picture.
Humphrey Bogart. Say, Humphrey Bogart is a real favorite of yours, isn't he, Eddie?
Oh, I like all the movie stars, Harry. I'm a fan. Just this afternoon, I went to the matinee at the Paramount where they have Deanna Durbin's new picture.
Uh-huh.
And gosh, what a terrible thing happened. Shouldn't happen to a door. Shouldn't happen to you. Oh, Harry, it was awful. What a terrible thing. I got dressed in a hurry. I ate fast, ran down to the theater, pushed my way through the crowd, and just as I got to the box office, the price has changed.
Well, you went in anyway, huh?
Yeah, and did I have a time of it. With those ushers and those flashlights. One of the ushers was leading a woman and two kids down the aisle.
Yeah.
And when he got to my row, he shined the flashlight in my face. Right away, one of the kids yelled, "Let's go, Mom. We saw this Popeye last week."
Well, Eddie, I bet you enjoyed Deanna's new picture, didn't you?
Well, I had trouble seeing it. The woman who was sitting in front of me was wearing a hat with one of those big feathers.
Oh, yes.
I sat through half the picture before I found out that Deanna Durbin hasn't got a mustache.
Oh, poor Eddie.
Yeah, but I wasn't the only one who had trouble. A newlywed couple came in and they had to take separate seats with a fella sitting in between them.
No.
Oh, and what went on, Harry? I hope this gets the laugh I think it's going to get.
Yes.
But the fella in between didn't stop them from making love. They leaned over this poor guy and kept kissing and kissing. 47 times she kissed him. Finally, the guy in the middle got up and said, "I'm leaving, lady. Do you mind if the guy in back of me keeps score?"
Eddie, you know newlyweds, they probably weren't very much interested in the picture.
No, and I know some women who only go to the pictures to see what the stars are wearing. Honestly, Harry,
oh, yes.
They don't care anything about the pictures. I was sitting next to a couple of these women, and in one scene, the leading lady rushes into a room and shoots six people. Bing, 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 like that. With all those bodies lying around and with smoke still coming out of the revolver, one of the women turned to the other and said, "I can get that same hat in Macy's basement for $1.98. You know, they go to the theater just to see the clothes, Harry. To see the clothes! This type of woman usually weighs about 280 pounds, has a waistline of 48 inches, and she wants to see what kind of a sweater Lana Turner's wearing so she can copy it. Is this silly?
Oh, it's awful,
Eddie. Honestly, Harry, it's just... And how some of the women cried during the sad scenes.
Oh, yeah.
The minute Betty Davis comes... they cry. One woman not only cried, she pulled hair out by the roots.
She pulled out her hair?
No, not hers, but the guy sitting in front of her. He came into the theater as curly and walked out as baldy.
Oh, those women really act up, don't they?
It's not only the women, Harry. In a theater, the men are just as bad. They're so silly.
Well, I guess they are.
For instance, the actors on the screen can't hear them, but still they applaud. It's ridiculous. Now, I like the type of people who come to see my pictures. They're so intelligent. They never applaud.
No. I know, they never applaud. Once in a while, you'll hear a little...
Well, say... Leaky radiators you'll find in any theater. Say.
Well, look, Eddie, getting back to the Paramount, I guess you must have really enjoyed seeing Deanna's picture, huh?
It wasn't all fun, Harry. I don't know, I grew a little wistful when I saw Deanna Durbin in those love scenes with Franco Tone. Gosh, she was only 14 years old when she started on this program. And now this little Olive Major, she's only 13. Pretty soon she'll be in pictures making love to Franco Tone. It's awful, Harry.
Oh, well, now, here, Eddie, you shouldn't let a thing like that upset you.
But it does, Harry. It does. Why is it when they're playing jacks, I get them, but as soon as they start playing post office, Franco Tone gets them? Harry, yes. Tell me the truth. What has Francho Tone got that I didn't have 40 years ago?
Oh, Eddie, seriously, it's hard to believe that Deanna has grown up and will be married this month.
Not only Deanna, another little girl who's been on my program for the past couple of weeks got married only the other day, Harry.
Who was that?
You didn't read the famous mammy from Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel. Here she is. Congratulations, Hattie, and good luck to both of you. Tell me, did you have a nice honeymoon?
I don't know. My husband ain't come back from it yet.
Look, Hattie, before you were married, how long were you engaged?
To tell the truth, Mr. Cantor, I played hard to get.
Hard to get? What do you mean?
I didn't say yes till after you got through asking me.
What does he look like, Hattie? Describe him to me, will you?
Well, he's 5 years my senior and 10 sizes my junior.
Sounds like he must be a little fellow.
Little nothing. He stands 6'3" in his stocking feet, and he's very handsome.
Handsome? Really?
Yes, sir. He's sort of a Johnny Weissmuller in Technicolor.
Hattie, you must really be proud of him, huh?
I sure is. My husband is a perfect gentleman. He's got all the latest manners.
You mean when you walk on the street, he walks on the outside?
Boss, when I walk on the street, there's nothing left but the outside.
Anyway, Hattie, I'm glad you picked out our show as the first stop on your honeymoon.
I is, too. Everybody on this show has been so nice to me. I got a wedding present from Mr. Vomzell, one from Miss Dinah. Even the Mad Russian gave me a gift.
Gosh, everyone on the show gave you something, huh?
Everybody except one person.
Well, say, that sound effects man has always been a cheapskate.
I wasn't referring to the sound effects man.
No?
No, it's another big noise around here.
You know, Hattie, marriage is a wonderful thing.
Not when you don't get a present from somebody that can afford it.
And the companionship you get out of married life. You can sit around and talk.
Yeah, talk about the people who skunked you on the wedding present.
Yeah, and then in a few years you have little ones.
And the little ones grows up and then dad gets married.
That's right, Hattie.
And again, them same people skunks them on their wedding present.
All right. Wait a minute, Hattie. Are you insinuating that you didn't get my present?
You mean that singing telegram you sent me?
Well, it was a beautiful thought, wasn't it?
Yeah, but who can hock a Western Union boy?
Hattie, don't tell me you're hocking things already. You make it sound as if your husband isn't a good provider.
Provider? You should have seen what that man provided himself with for the wedding.
Yeah.
He was dressed real formal. Black suit, black hat, black shoes, black tie, and black shirt.
All in black?
Uh-huh. He looked just like an Ethiopian good humor man.
By the way, Hattie, what is your husband's occupation?
I don't know for sure, but I think he must be a pool shark.
A pool shark? What makes you think so?
Before he put the ring on me, he chalked up the end of my finger.
Tell me, Hattie McDaniel, who gave the bride away?
My pappy. And you should have seen my pappy march down the aisle holding the groom's arm.
The groom's arm? Why didn't he hold your arm?
He knew I wasn't trying to get away.
Well, tell me, were you excited when it came time to say I do?
Mr. Cantor, I was so nervous, I said I do, I will, I can, I could, and I did.
Don't go, Hattie. Here's another wedding gift for you and a present for our listeners, all wrapped up in the same package. And the label says, Dinah Shore. Let's unwrap it, shall we?
Taking a moonlight walk, I spoke to the moon, but the moon won't talk. I know that that silly old moon saw that moonlight walk. I'm mad at the moon, 'cause the moon won't talk. I've lost my lonely heart. I fell asleep, and when I wakened with a start, he tossed my foolish heart back to the world and kicked the world apart. I'm through. I'll have nothing to do with that moonlight walk. I hate the moon because the moon won't talk. Moon, send me back my love.
Dinah, that was swell. You're certainly keeping up the good work you've been doing all week at the Paramount Theater. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Dinah's making personal appearances, and I'm the guest of the Campbell Playhouse this coming Friday night. We're going to play The Nervous Wreck. In fact, everybody's making personal appearances but Harry Von Zeller.
Oh, well, I could go on the stage if I wanted to, Eddie.
Doing what, if I may ask? Doing what?
Huh? Well, I could...
No, I wouldn't do that if I were you, Harry. What you were going
no,
to...
No, that's right. That's old stuff. Well, I tell you what,
No. Not that either, Harry. That's passé, too, Harry, huh?
It is. Well, then maybe
I got it, Harry. Look, you couldn't make any better personal appearances than the ones you make before this microphone every Wednesday night because you're doing something that's sincere and helpful, you know?
Well, there is a satisfaction in helping people feel better. That's why I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that when you need a laxative, you'll remember that Sal Hepatica gives you quick, gentle relief. You don't have to wait till night to take it, so there's no need to go through the whole day feeling dull and headachy. Sal Hepatica acts quickly, usually within an hour. And besides, speedy Sal Hepatica also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again. Now, with that in mind, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tomorrow. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Mr. Cantor, what's this in today's paper about you speaking at Columbia University tomorrow?
Of course, Dinah. Didn't you know?
But, Mr.
Cantor... Oh, I know what you're thinking. I'm a dopus or something. You figure I'm not an intellectual. Well, I brought a fella here tonight who's going to put me wise to everything. A man who knows all the answers and proves it on Information Please, Oscar Levant.
Hello, Eddie. Nice of me to come over.
Yes, it was, Oscar. I'll tell you why I called you. You see, I'm lecturing at Columbia University tomorrow. It's a formal gathering, and I'm wondering if you could help me out.
You want to borrow my tuxedo?
No, Oscar. I have a tuxedo.
Yes, I've seen you wearing it. You want to borrow my tuxedo?
Look, Oscar, this has nothing to do with clothes. Tomorrow I'm going to Columbia University to deliver a lecture.
You at Columbia?
Sure.
Where they speak English, it says here.
My dear man, I speak perfect English. I always have. Why, when I was in school, I spoke better English than anybody in my class.
Who was in your class?
Harpo Marx, Parker Carcass, and Schlepperman. The next year, I was in Jack Benny's class.
But you're not in Jack Benny's class today. All right, Oscar Levant.
All right, if you do another program, you'll have to leave Information Please, huh?
I'm planning to quit anyway. My job's making me round-shouldered.
You're getting round-shouldered on Information Please? All you have to do is to sit at a table one night a week.
Yeah, but the other six nights, I have to deliver those encyclopedias.
Gee, that is tough.
And besides, I have to make those Information Please movies.
Oscar, those are shorts. You can't call those movies. They only last 15 minutes.
I wish I could say the same for your pictures.
I forgive you, Oscar. It's got to laugh. And, you know, if you had me on your program, I'm sure that...
Gee, Eddie, I'd like to have you on the program, but you're not eligible. You see, all applicants for our program must meet certain requirements.
Requirements? What are they?
A lot of people don't know this, Eddie, that every guest of Information Please must be a graduate of kindergarten.
So strict? Oh, you must be a genius. Maybe I can become one. Tell me, Oscar, when did you first realize you were a genius?
When I told you how much money I wanted for this program and got it.
So you got money out of me, so what? Forget money. Money. What do I care about money? It doesn't mean... You mean I'm paying you what you asked for, your first prize? We didn't argue? Pull up a chair, Oscar. Got to argue.
Eddie, I'm not here to argue. I'm here to answer questions.
That's right, Oscar. Tell me, what is the most difficult question you've ever been called up on to answer?
Last night I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning and my wife asked me where I'd been.
Well, what did you tell her?
I didn't answer. I gave her $50 and 2 sets of encyclopedias.
Yeah, but that's double the usual prize. How come you gave her $50 and 2 sets of encyclopedias?
I'm going out again tonight.
I know exactly how it is, Oscar. You know, I'll answer it. Hello? Just a minute. Sometime I'll answer the phone. It'll be for me. It's for you, Oscar.
Thanks. Why must you keep bothering me with questions? I'll help you out this time, but no more. All right, here's the answer to your question. The space-time concept has for its end the solution to all kinetic problems held as statics. The pound, however, is not a kinetic concept. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Who is that?
The editor of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Goodbye! I don't think I'll ever do anything that will be written up in Encyclopedia Britannica, but I won't miss it if I can have the pleasure now and then of introducing to the public someone as sweet and talented as 13-year-old Olive Major. Here she is, singing Il Bacio. You're singing Il Bacio, which means...
Il Bacio means the kiss.
Boy, get him. That fella knows all the answers. Say, Oscar, I bet I've got a question that'll stump you, I'll bet you.
Betcha.
All right. Can you identify this musical fragment?
Could I have that again, please?
Oh, quit kidding, Harry. Ask him a hard question, a serious one. Go ahead.
All right, Eddie. Oscar, see if you can answer this one. Who said, to help yourself to firmer gums and brighter teeth, use iPana toothpaste and massage? Who said that?
You just did.
I guess I did, Oscar. But after all, I was really passing along the advice of the many dentists who recommend Ipana and massage for the home care of the teeth and gums. You'll find, ladies and gentlemen, that Ipana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, Ipana also helps give your gums the stimulation they need for firmness and health. And since teeth are seldom at their sparkling best when gums are soft and tender, why not follow this easy, healthful routine?
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
If you want any further evidence of the faith so many dentists have in this popular toothpaste, listen to this remarkable fact recently revealed in a nationwide survey.
Dentists prefer Ipana toothpaste for their own personal use, 2-to-1 over any other dentifrice, paste, powder, or liquid.
So decide now to help yourself to healthier gums and brighter teeth. The perfect combination for a winning smile by massaging faithfully with Ipana toothpaste.
Well, Eddie, I guess I'll be running along.
Wait a minute, Oscar. There's just one thing more. Tomorrow when I appear at Columbia University to lecture, what is the procedure before I'm introduced?
Well, grouped on the platform are the most brilliant men of the faculty. Men of science, men of letters. Out of their midst steps an impressive figure garbed in his professional robes. A hush falls over the audience as he walks to the rostrum and says in a dignified voice,
"How do you do?"
Russian, tonight I've got a great treat for you. Standing beside me is the famous Oscar.
This is what the Academy gave to Ginger Rogers?
No, no.
I wish they had.
Yep. No, this is Oscar Levant, one of the experts of information, please.
An expert, eh? Mm-hmm. I'll ask him a few simple questions.
Go ahead.
Rizdichich, Plekov, Crosspots, Nukovnevich.
What?
Stuck already, eh?
Stuck. Russian, this man is an author. Levant wrote the book, A Smattering of Ignorance.
So what? He's only ignorant. I'm already a full-fledged dope.
You know something, Russian? If we had another moron here, the two of you could sing a solo.
Go ahead, I'll take the harmony.
Wait.
Now, have a little respect. Remember, Oscar Levant has dozens of degrees.
Centigrade, Fahrenheit, or Gesundheit?
No. College degrees. He's brilliant. Go ahead, Oscar. Please enumerate your degrees.
A.B., B.S., L.L.D., D.D., and D.D.S.
Some genius. He left out H.I.J.K.L.M.N.O.P. A genius.
Listen, Russian, at least I'm a college graduate. Can you wear a cap and gown?
Not me. I sleep in my underwear.
No!
Oscar,
can't you see you're wasting your time?
I'll find out how much he knows. Russian, I'm going to test your IQ.
What?
IQ. IQ.
I IQ, too.
You don't understand. He's trying to test your intelligence. Go on, Oscar, please.
Okay, Russian. Do you know anything about the arts?
Do I know about the arts? I'm laughing in your puss. My dear boy, I was neighbors with Rembrandt.
Rembrandt? Why, that's silly. Rembrandt lived in 1500.
Well, I lived in 1502 right next door.
Oh,
you're a faker.
Don't say that. Don't say that. I come from a whole family of artisans. Mm-hmm. My father painted the picture that was hung in the famous Minsk Museum of Art.
Where is your father now?
They hung him with the picture. The picture was framed. So was my daddy.
Your daddy? Well, you know nothing about art. Try him on something else, Oscar, please.
Very well. Russian, next I question your knowledge of music.
How dare you? I was responsible for the first Russian symphony orchestra.
How was that?
I banded together 346 musicians.
Mm-hmm.
We had no money.
Go on.
It was the opening night at Lowe's Moscow.
Yes? Tell us, Russian, what happened?
I am raising my baton, rapping twice.
Yes.
And no music.
Why not?
Couldn't afford instruments.
Oh, Russian, quit pretending.
You can't fool the band. Why, he is one of the greatest musicians in this country.
He is. Listen, Levons. If you know so much about music, maybe you can tell me what symphony starts with this note.
Is that from the second movement of Beethoven?
No, that's from the third race at Belmont.
Look at me, Russian. Now tell me, were you born or did you just accumulate?
You talk like that to me? A student who spent from the ages of 12 to 36 in the Moscow Institute of Gubernia Boychik Pavolia?
Yep. What is that?
The Russian home for backward children.
Then you admit you know nothing about the arts or sciences.
But I do. In my laboratory, I am working day and night. Night and day.
Two shifts.
Three hards.
Four spades.
I pass the card deal.
Wait a minute.
I am working. I'm working. And finally, I discovered the most astounding solution.
Yes.
I can defy the law of gravity.
You what?
I'll prove it. I will jump off this table and remain in midair.
Wait a minute, Russian. You discovered this after 15 years' research in your laboratory?
Exactly. I will demonstrate right now.
Go ahead.
Right now, I will demonstrate. I am climbing up on the table like this.
Yes.
And defying the law of gravity. One, two, three. I am jumping. I did it?
No.
Well, back to the laboratory.
Oscar, now that the Russian is gone and you're going, there's just one more question I'd like to ask.
What?
Tell me, where do women get those hats? They look like something that was dragged in by cats. I could write a sonnet to an Easter bonnet, but not to a hat of corned beef with dill pickles on it. Oh, where do women get those hats? Those fugitives from automats. Deanna Durbin's turban is as sweet as a ballad, but how can a woman walk around beneath a lobster salad? It's enough to make the G-men draw their gats. Oh, where do women get those hats?
I'm in the mood to wear a snoot or French beret.
My conscience says a turkey's fez is quite okay.
The tam o'shanter, that's for canter any old day. But I can't see a headgear made of cheese souffle.
The Empress of Eugenie was a work of art.
The teeny weeny beanie, I admit, is smart.
But how can any woman wear a flock of pigeons in her hair or walk around wearing a blue plate special a la carte?
Oh, where do women get those hats?
To put them on, they must be acrobats. These new spring hats would make a tiger take his snarl off. In fact, I heard they're using them to frighten Boris Karloff. It's the subject for some fireside chats.
Oh, where do women get those crazy hats?
They're worse than Mr. Benny's 1913 spats. You guys who paid the bills deserve a kick in the slats.
Oh, where do women get those hats?
Till next Wednesday, toodaloo, toodaloo. Don't forget to listen, don't forget to listen, and be soon, and be soon.
Don't forget to join us again next week, ladies and gentlemen, when it's time to smile with Eddie Cantor and his special guests, Max Baer and Lou Nova. Don't forget to listen in also to Mr. District Attorney, who tonight solves the thrilling story of the case of the Spanish prisoner. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.